morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be here. Oh, man, Jen, those songs are perfect for what I'm going to say today. I love it, and I'm going to sit down because my knees are shot. But I'm so glad to be here, and what do you need, friend? I'm good? I have to get on. Oh, there we go. All right, this is going to be a fun stretch for me because I got to do notes and technology and thoughts and prayers and hopes. Anyway, so good to be here, and so it's so fun to see everybody again. And I'm proud of y'all for all you're going through getting our space down, and thanks for doing that. I'll let Chase get. Is it up? It will be? Okay. Well, some of you remember Don's and my first trip to Africa and all that happened to us there. And I'm going to just review that story a little bit for the people who have not heard it before. And we have some slides. We're going to give them. Oh, there were buttons I was supposed to push. Okay. Thanks for being here. There we go. No, that's the screensaver.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
There you go.
Is that it? Yep. Do you think we should turn the lights down? Yeah. And how do I suppose that doesn't do it, does it? Well, we'll just work with what we've got here. So I'm going to recap a little bit of the history from 2013 and 2016 so that those of you who haven't heard this story before can be up to speed with 2022. So for years, I begged my Donald to take me to Uganda to see the gorillas. I begged him hard, and he really didn't want to go. But they're the gorillas that are being, becoming extinct, that were written up in the movie Gorillas in the Mist, the Diane Fossey gorillas. But my connection with those gorillas is that when I was in graduate school, we listened to hours and hours and hours of tapes of gorillas in the mist, in the wild, and transcribed them to determine whether or not gorillas had a ruled language with predictable syntactic patterns and a vocabulary. And I loved that work. It was really cool. And we did determine that gorillas do have a predictable language. They have names for each other. They call out commands to each other. They ask each other questions. And it's pretty exciting. So I wanted to hear them in the wild. Don wasn't like hot to go to Africa. But since I wouldn't stop bugging him, he finally agreed. And since we were going so far, we booked 4 weeks in Africa, visiting Uganda to fulfill my gorilla dream, adding Tanzania to see the Serengeti, visiting Zambia to see the Victoria Falls, and ending with 10 days in South Africa to visit Cape Town and the wine country. The summer prior to our visit, Don kind of nagged me about getting some hiking practice in. He reminded me daily that going into the mountains to see the gorillas was a trek and reported by many as an arduous trek. But I was busy with grandkids and committee meetings and summer guests, and I didn't trek. I did buy some wonderful boots, however, some wonderful hiking boots that I thought were great, and Don kept mentioning I should break them in. And I wore them in the kitchen whenever I cooked, and I felt like that was gonna work. Well, it's a long and funny story about our gorilla trek, and in so many ways, it was a failure. I failed on the gorilla trek because I couldn't climb the mountain, and 13 gentlemen from the fields of Uganda put me on a cot and carried me up the mountain. They're down in the bottom picture. Can you see the pictures?
Yep.
Good. And I did get to see them. I got to see that guy who looks like he's posing for a magazine. And I got to hear them, and that was the most important thing, but I was devastated at how terrible I was at trekking. I refer to that day as one of my biggest failures. However, as so often happens in life, that biggest failure led me to one of the greatest joys of my life. Our second trekking day, I did not accompany Don up the mountain. He went without me, and while he was gone, the hotel staff insisted that I go visit St. Matthew's School and the Batwa community. So I did. They said it would cheer me up. There are about 100 children at this school, most of them orphans from the HIV/AIDS epidemic that swept Uganda, and many of them HIV positive themselves. It was the only school in the Bulindi area of Uganda, and it was absolutely heartbreaking. No books, no pencils, no maps on the walls, no desks. Just 100 kids sitting on dirt floors, smiling and enjoying their days. They were beautiful. They sang for me. That's the big group up there. They came outside and sang for me, and I fell in love and walked away sobbing. The young man who was my guide was baffled by my tears and decided I needed to be cheered up, so he would take me to the Batwa community. The Batwa community, the Batwas are the pygmies that were displaced from the mountain when the government decided to save the gorillas. They were removed from the mountain. Their whole colony was moved into 3 acres of land near the village, which did not support their gardens, their hunting, their building their homes, and they were in rough shape. There were only about 28 of them left when we got there. Now imagine me in a village of pygmies. First of all, I walked in and they were all looking at me like I was Gulliver, and the little pygmy chief in his banana leaf crown came and took my hand, marched me over to a chair, brought his little tiny pygmy wife over, and she washed my feet, and that did me in. So I spent time with the pygmies for a few hours, and that's me with the pygmy clan there, and it was devastating. I was in tears when Don got home from trekking. I was a mess, and I said, we can't come here and not do something, and he agreed. So we found a contractor in town to build some desks for the schools, and we had 80 desks for St. Matthew's School built. And you can see on the front of the desks that they brilliantly put on the front of each desk, donated by Don and Cindy USA, which means every person who comes to visit that school looks at those desks and says, well, I could donate something to this school. And we called it our Kickstarter campaign. While that was going on, while those desks were being built, a young man named Moses Agaba, who had been our housekeeper at our hotel, he kept writing me back and forth and saying he had this dream to build a school and did we want to help? And we did want to help. So we sent him some money and some construction began. We didn't send him very much money, but a man in that lower photograph named Nicholas from Germany came and saw the desks that we had built that had said donated by Don and Cindy USA. And he said, I can build you a school. So he and his friends from Germany built a huge, beautiful campus. And we always felt like Nicholas was the founder of Bulindi Plus School, but Moses always said he never would have helped without us. So at the, I don't want to forget anything, so I had to write it all down. There was also mention from Moses of his fiance, Elizabeth, who he really was going to put in charge of the school. He was going to stay working at the hotel so he could pay the salaries of the teachers. But Elizabeth was going to really run the school. And one day I received a very sad email from Moses, which said his grandmom, who had growed him up, had died. And he didn't have a mom, and he didn't have a grandmom. And would I be his mom? And I thought, that was delightful. I said, love to be your mom. And he responded by saying, can you come for my wedding? And I said, well, I got to get a hip replacement. We can't come this year. And he said, well, we'll wait. But they didn't wait for everything, because next we got a picture of Elizabeth and their baby daughter. And her name is, her first name is Cindy Anderson. And her middle name is Elizabeth Agaba. And they call her Cindy Anderson, which I love. And that is her beautiful mother, Elizabeth. So now I have this godchild in Africa. And so we got invited to go back in 2016 for Cindy Anderson's baptism. And we went, and it was amazing. The first thing that happened, the first morning we got there, 150 or 175 kids marched down the street with signs and banners singing and welcoming us to their new school. And they marched us back to the school. That's the Agaba family on the top. That's me in the parade. And that's one of the new classrooms at Bowindi Plus. It looks a little different than the old classroom at St. Matthew's. We went to the baptism at the church. It lasted 5 hours. It was so hot. It was so crowded. You can see the crowd in the church in the back. Don had to make a speech. No one speaks our language, so it was very hard for him to make that. And the picture on the bottom here is the family, the extended family after the baptism, all the aunts and uncles and cousins. It was so much fun. And that was followed by a march to the new school where Don and I cut the ribbon, and they had a 500-person party to celebrate the grand opening of the school. We were the guests of honor. There was dancing. There was lots of music. There were two forks because the people of Uganda do not eat with forks, but they had one for Don and me, so that was good. And that picture at the bottom I love, because that is a woman who's presenting a chicken to the Agaba family in honor of Cindy Anderson, and Don is saying to her, why are you giving them a chicken? And I'm laughing at him, and he's looking at her like she's insane, and she said, well, if you move to Uganda, I'll give you a chicken. So that was good. So that was a wonderful experience. We left that party feeling terrific, and the next day, we went to see St. Matthew's. And St. Matthew's had improved a lot. You can still tell that St. Matthew's is the poorer of the two schools. But it had improved a lot, and you could see the new desks there. You can see the construction happening at the bottom level there, and you can see the excitement of the people. We took some educational materials, some soccer balls, and some shirts with us when we went. And you can see how the new desks look and how much better the rooms look with desks in. We left Bowindi feeling like, wow, you know, just a little bit of help had really made a difference in that community. At that point in time, there were about 200 kids at St. Matthew's and about 200 kids at Bowindi Plus. So we felt like lots more kids were getting education. And we went on our safari. We saw wonderful animals and wonderful experiences in all the other countries. And Don said to me 100 times, I wish our kids could see this. Oh, I wish our kids were here. I wish our kids could be here. And so we decided it was important not only for us to see the world, but to watch our kids see the world. And so we started saving up our bucks to go back with all the family. And we planned that for 2020. It got delayed because of the pandemic. Got delayed again in 2021. And at Christmas time this year, we were able to go. Now, there's a little side story I have to tell you before the next slide, because it has to do with this community, this broader community, and the generosity of people in the world. When we went back in 2013, we came around a corner and came upon a big soccer field, just like when you go past Harbor Island in the springtime. And there were 100 kids playing soccer and 200 parents watching them. The only difference was they didn't have a ball. They had these rags wrapped with tape and string, and that's what they were using for a ball. And we were just astounded. And so when we came home and were telling our story, we told our story to our neighbor, Ron, and he happened to be in charge of the children's soccer program, Tri-Cities Soccer Club or whatever it is, and he said, I have a storage room of old shirts and soccer balls that haven't been used. He said, when you go back, you can take them. So when we went back in 2016, we took 40 soccer balls and probably 200 shirts, and the kids just loved it. It was great. So this time when we were going back, I said to Moses, what do the children want us to bring? And he said, soccer balls and shirts. But we didn't have a source anymore. So I put on Grand Haven Informed. We're going to Uganda. The kids there are requesting soccer balls and shirts. If you have any extra, let us know. And we had the most beautiful outpouring. These are only a few of the pictures of people who supported it. But our garage got filled with soccer balls and shirts. We took 140 soccer balls and 400 shirts to Uganda this time. And here are the boxes that we had to transport. It was a little tricky getting them there because when you fly on an overseas flight, you get two checked bags free. So that was no problem. We could check. There were five of us going from Grand Haven, so we could check 10 bags, right? But getting them from the Entebbe airport up to Kihihi in the little tiny plane was going to be tricky. But as serendipity, we talked about serendipity. As serendipity would have it, I was in touch with Moses and said, I don't know how I'm going to get him up there. We got to figure out how to transport him up to Kihihi. And the week before we got there, the director of Aerolink, which is the little airline service that flies people all around Uganda, happened to be staying at Mahogany Springs where we stay, and Moses told her the problem, and she said, we'll bring them up for nothing. So it was just Don and I having to load them all and store them at the airport overnight, which was a story, and load them all on the plane the next morning, which is why I look so hot. I was so hot, my grandchildren were laughing at me. So anyway, we got the goods up there, and we took off in our little plane over the lush green landscape of Uganda, and there's a great shot of our shadow as we're landing. And waiting for us at the little tiny Kahihi airport was little Miss Cindy Anderson, Elizabeth Agaba. You can see her back right in front of me in the picture and all the things we brought. And she leapt into our arms like she has known us forever. Now, she didn't remember us from 10 months, but they've obviously kept us alive in her heart. And we had given them our old C3 church picture, you know, the one where you look so good. And they have it hanging in the school. And so that's how she thought we were going to look, I'm sure, and how we were going to act, I'm sure. But anyway, she just joined right in with us. And we took the very arduous ride up the hill, a long, terrible ride in these Land Rovers up the hill to the beautiful landscape of Mahogany Springs in Bawindi. If you look at that tree line up at the top where the rainforest really starts and the fields end, you can see why it was necessary for the government to step up and save the habitat of the gorillas, because the tea farmers of the world were destroying the rainforest, which is the habitat for the mountain gorillas. You can see where the demarcation is, and that's what you look at from the balcony of our beautiful hotel in Mahogany Springs. So Moses let us grab a quick lunch, and Cindy joined us at the table, picked up her fork and used it by watching all of us, ordered from the menu. It was pretty cool. And she wasn't nervous about us at all. She didn't sit by me. She sat with the kids. It was just great. So then we had a quick rest and then went to the school where we were greeted with, now they were not in session. They were on Christmas break. But 200 of the 400 kids that go to school there had come in for the day to greet us. And this is the way the gate looked when we got there, what the sign said. That's me hugging Elizabeth. And below is our grandson, Colson, Big Colson, and Elizabeth and Moses' second child, Little Colson. This is what the kids were doing when we got there. As soon as we got in the gate, they were all lined up and waiting, and this is how beautiful the campus is. So it was pretty exciting to see it, pretty exciting to see our desks there, and that's our grandson, Waker, sitting at one of our desks with Cindy Anderson and her little brother, Colson, looking on. And these are just some faces of the beautiful, beautiful kids that go to that school. And they were so excited to see us. And I am going to take, now Don thinks this is too long, but I think you're going to want to see this. I'm going to take 4.5 minutes to play for you the song that these kids sang to us as we sat in chairs to welcome us there. You have to really strain to understand the words, but they're saying, "You are so welcome, you are welcome, you are so welcome." And then there's some parts I don't get, but you're going to love it. I hope it comes up.
Thank you.
two things. You're going to be singing that song all day. And you're going to try some of those moves at home. When Don and I planned this trip, we wondered so much how our kids would feel about things and if they'd like it, you know, how are they going to survive without their technology, and will they be a part of the group, and will they enjoy the children? And right after this singing occurred, my heart just burst with pride when I looked around and saw them. That's our daughter-in-law, Melinda, just embracing a child. Our grandson, Waker, joining the drummers, just walked up and joined the drummers. And our grandson, Coulson, with little Coulson in his arms. And it was just so heartwarming to see the kids really warm up. And then we handed out shirts, and it was bedlam. It was amazing, exciting bedlam. These kids stood in line to be fitted for their shirts, and they were all, and the teachers were putting on shirts. It was so fun. And now you can just see how the world looks in Grand Haven soccer shirts. And they just loved it. And at the end of our visit, we left watching a whole bunch of kids playing soccer out in the field and went and moved on to St. Matthew's to visit those kids and deliver some things to them. Again, you notice St. Matthew's just is a poor school, but it is much better than it was when we went in 2013. And they only had, this many children show up out of the regular teaching or the regular school day because they're all on Christmas break. But they were amazing. And they also sent a welcome song to us. It's not nearly as long, but I want you to see it because there's a significant person in the end of this. Let's see if I can. Girl Devota, we're going to talk about her in a minute. After we heard the song, we handed out the shirts and soccer balls there. We opened up the big satchel that we had planned that was filled with shirts, and it had an air fryer and women's boots and some shoes in it. It wasn't our satchel. It got mixed up at the airport, and I was horrified, of course, but when the school just said, yeah, we'll get it. Don't worry about it. And so we did get it. Don found it when we went back to that airport on our way to the Serengeti, and we sent it up on the next transport. So they have their shirts now. But while Don and I were off touring the school and talking with the directors, our precious granddaughter, Hazel, this one's a hard one to talk about, she connected with Devota and found out that Devota is an orphan. Her mother died last year. And this was the last year she could be in school because she didn't have any funds for school. And she asked Hazel about her high school, and they became acquainted. I didn't know anything about it, except that night at dinner, Hazel told us that she and her parents had decided to send Devoted to high school. So that was pretty cool. I didn't know I was going to do this. So Devoted is in high school now, thanks to our sweet Hazel. And we had these lovely meals. Cindy is sitting right in the chair at the head of the table. That's where she picked her spot every night for dinner. She just took over the family, and she loved to do selfies. So you can see how she and Hazel like to do selfies, and she would make crazy faces. And I love these pictures of her watching Don talk like, are you kidding me? And anyway, that was our first day. It was pretty amazing. So the next morning, we got up, and the teams got ready to go out on the gorilla trek. This was the team that was doing the toughest trek. Hillary and Nick were doing a medium trek, and Don was doing a medium trek with our granddaughter, Mackenzie, who has some knee issues, maybe genetic. And they saw amazing, all the teams saw amazing gorillas. But none of them saw gorillas quite like Don and Mackenzie did, because on their way back to camp, the gorillas happened to be on the trail, which normally you're going through the rainforest, they're macheting you a path. These gorillas were taking the easy way. So Don and Mackenzie saw some amazing gorillas. I love this guy, looks like he's smoking. But wait till you see this. This, Don is standing, filming right here. That's about a 400-pound silverback. And in the end, you're going to hear Don swear.
Shit.
That's a pretty big thing. Isn't that amazing? They don't pay any attention to you, but if they did, it would be scary. I stayed back with Cindy and Coulson. I had taken some bubble machines and stuff, and we played. But Cindy got a hold of my phone, and there are 700 pictures of me that Cindy took with my phone. But here's another thing I loved about what our kids did. As soon as they got back from that hot hike, they went down to the river where all the local kids were swimming, and they just joined in. And they had a blast. I don't know how the local kids felt about it, but our people were having jumping contests and swimming like mad. So they're great pictures. And of course, there was always soccer. Our kids were always playing soccer with all the local kids. Then after that, they went back and got dressed and went down to the shopping area where Don and I had made some friends with people when we were there before. We had purchased some things to bring back as gifts, and they remembered us and were thrilled to see our family there. And Waker made friends with an artist, and Hillary, of course, made friends with anybody who was selling stuff. So they had some fun souvenirs from that. And then, if that wasn't enough, we went to Moses and Elizabeth's home, which they built on top of a mountain for a birthday party for little Cindy and big Cindy. And they had their extended family there. And it was so much fun. We had the cousins were there. The kids were all playing soccer. The uncles and the grandmas and everybody was there. And here's the story I want to tell you about a birthday cake. And just think about your own kids with this. I did. That there were probably 50, maybe 60 people there. And Elizabeth came into the room when the meal was over with this little 9-inch round cake. And I thought, this is going to be interesting, serving this. I wonder who gets the cake. And Cindy knew exactly what to do. She cut off a chunk of the cake, she took one fork, and she went around the room and gave everybody one bite of cake. And she handed me a plate to do the same. And I thought about, nobody said, yours is bigger. Nobody said, I want more. Some of the kids didn't even get any, but nobody complained about it. That's just the tradition there. Maybe you'll get a piece of cake. That was a wonderful night. The next day, we got into some Land Rovers and took off for the Uganda National Park, which really isn't a very good game viewing park. There's very little there, but our kids loved being in the you know, a little break from all the intensity. It was a little more relaxing. And at the end of the day, we had our last supper there, and I said a very tearful goodbye. And this is what we thought about. That travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime. And that was Mark Twain. So we got back on our little planes, and we headed to the Serengeti, and we were greeted by our two guides. This is Reggie, and he is the talker guide. This is Ivad, and he is the quiet guide. Now, the best part of the trip for me happened right now. These two guys taught us so much. We were with them for the next 7 days. But by then, our children were sick of their children, my grandchildren. So they let us put our four youngest grandchildren in the Land Rover with us, and they went in the other one with the talking guide. So we had Ivad and the young grandkids, and it was magical. We went into the Serengeti. We had headed for a Lamala camp, and you know, we were tired, long day of travel. The very first thing that happened is we came on this lion pride that had just had a kill, and the entire family was there eating. Of course, you know, the women hunt. The guys were just waiting for dinner. And this is how close the lions came to us as we sat in our Land Rovers. It was amazing. We watched them for a long time, and it was starting to get dark. And we headed for our tent camp. We really lived in tents. And our kids thought it was fantastic. We had beautiful meals there, the best food that we had in Africa this time. But when we woke up in the morning, these lion prints were right outside our tents. And that was a little fun to watch with the kids. And then we started out on the safari, and we just had, the Serengeti is full of wonder. We saw a million wonderful animals, hippos in and out of the water, all kinds of, is that Elon? Thompson gazelle, and baboons, and baby baboons, and a great hyena sighting, and warthogs, and water buffalo, giraffes, amazing giraffe sightings this time. And a lot of lions. Oh, I want to go back to this one. These are the anti-lions who are taking care of all the cubs while the real hunter women are out hunting. So they leave them with the not the greatest hunters, but the best babysitters. I love that. This is just a beautiful old guy that was walking toward us. We saw crocs. We saw all kinds of elephants. There was one point in time when our Land Rover pulled up behind our kids' Land Rover, and Melinda, our daughter-in-law, was just weeping because she was so close to the elephants. And we saw lots of babies, and I don't know if you are aware of what happens with elephants, but once they're aware that you're there, you don't even know what's happening, but all the females just kind of rock back and forth until they have their babies in the center of the circle, protected by the big mamas and aunties. So that was fun. This guy was so close to us, we could have reached out our window and touched him, and Waker's remark was, he needs some lotion. His skin is really dry. We saw this beautiful cheetah, and of course the staff at our Lamala Lodge was always there to welcome us and to send us off on our adventures. The kids are pretty sure this was Pride Rock. Lots of zebras, lots of zebra and wildebeest tribes, beautiful birds. Don's a real birder, so he loved all the birds. I'm going to go through these quick because we're running out of time. We saw a leopard in a tree. Or leopard sightings are rare. The kids loved this one because the antelope were fighting. This is a little dik-dik. They're just a tiny little antelope. And then we had to leave Lamala. And our staff was there to say goodbye. And we went on to the next camp, which was in the Ngorongoro Conservation Area. And it's a place called Olduvai Lodge. And it is totally run by Maasai warriors. And they took a special interest in the kids and took them hiking with the giraffes. So while they're hiking along, they're standing in front of giraffes. and seeing, I don't know how that picture turned out there. It was good at home, but it looks dark here. They're seeing the Maasai children who herd the cattle and the goats. And then we went to the Maasai village. This is a jumping contest. You see how high our boys are jumping and how high the chief's son is jumping. He could jump. And our girls jumped. That was really fun. And we saw their houses, which are little bomas that I could hardly get in one, and families would live in there. And this was, the tall guy is our guide, and that's his wife. And she was the one who drove the hard bargain on the souvenirs we bought. This is their school. They're not in a fence, but those are their walls. And they are the Maasai children's school. Of course, the Maasai love kids and loved our kids. So that was fun. And this is in the Olduvai Lodge at the end of the night on our last night. A cat came through. It's a wild cat. It's a Janet cat. And it just came right through the lodge. It was really fun. We went to the place where they found Lucy, the skull, which connected, the evolutionary chain. We went to that museum. And then it was time to leave Olduvai. And it was such a great place. And I just have to tell one quick story about a young man there named Ezekiel. And Ezekiel came up to me and said, I remember you when you were here before. I remember you. I remember talking to you. And Don and I had sat in the bar and talked to him for a long time. He was a young Maasai. And now he's, 10 years older. And he writes to me probably 3 times a week saying, how is the health of your legs? You need to come back. We have medicine for your legs. Okay. I might go back. Then we went to the Ngorongoro crater, which was really fogged in that day. And the Ngorongoro crater is a huge volcanic hole that was formed a couple billion years ago. And it's full of all the animals that you see in the Serengeti. They all live there except giraffes. They can't manage the hill. So we saw everything that we had seen before. But I love this picture of our family. This was at the hippo pond. And I love this picture even more because at this point in time, we said, Yvette, Jesse, come here and get in our picture. So they handed our cameras to another guide, and they came in our picture, but so did this little kid that we didn't even know. She just came and got in the picture. We loved that. And then we went to our final place, which was Bashay Rift Lodge, and it has a pool. So the kids had a chance to decompress and swim and enjoy it and visit the coffee plantation that they have. We had wonderful meals there. And I met this beautiful woman who made these dolls. And I had been looking for some wonderful souvenir. And I bought 4 of her dolls. She had 6 there, and I bought 4. And she made me a necklace and brought it back. And it was such a fun experience to meet her. And she texts me every once in a while. And then we headed back toward the airport. And we stopped at a couple of art galleries. That is a carved log, which has amazing figures in it, that sits outside in this art gallery. And this was a fun picture. When Don and I were there in 2013, our guide was John. He's the guy in the white shirt. And I asked our other guides if they knew John, and they said, yeah, we know him. So they called him when we were headed back toward Kilimanjaro, and he met us on the highway. Literally, he stopped on one side of the highway, and we stopped on the other, and we got together and hugged, and I met his wife, and it was so much fun. So John and Jesse and Evad, it's our final picture. But this is Wayne was telling me a story today. This should be Wayne's, yeah. Travel isn't always pretty. It isn't always comfortable. Sometimes it hurts. It even breaks your heart. But that's okay. The journey changes you. It should change you. It leaves marks on your memory, on your consciousness, on your heart, and on your body. You take something with you. Hopefully you leave something good behind. And that's Anthony Bourdain. And this is what I took with me. I brought my girls home. And I hope we left a good mark on Africa. And our kid, we certainly left a legacy on our children's hearts. So thank you for listening.